I want you to think about the trials that you and I face, and I'm definitely not trying to minimize the trials that we are going through right now, or that we have been through, or that you're going through in your life right now. I don't have anything specific in mind, but from that standpoint, but just the trials that we go through in life, all of us. And, you know, I want you to think about the challenges that we face. And then I want to bring you some letters here. I want to read you some letters here of two martyrs for the faith. And they died for their faith. And a husband and a wife. Now the wife was with child. Okay? The wife was with child, and obviously you can imagine how traumatic of a time that was. You know, as she was dealing with, you know, giving birth, obviously, and just the challenges that she faced there. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10. Jesus said unto them, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." And I'm going to read you here, start reading here. This martyr's name, this account took place in 1551. Jerome Seegers was his name, and his wife's name was Liskin Dirks. And you're going to notice a few interesting things here, and I won't be able to stop and comment on all of them for time's sake, but there's quite a few interesting things here, biblical, and how weighty these letters were. And I want you to think about us standing for the faith in a day and age of apostasy, them standing for the faith in a day and age of tyranny and apostasy, where Rome had control, right? Where Protestant popes had some control, and what this couple faced. And I want you to pay attention. I want you to think about it, because sometimes you and I, you know, not minimizing our trials or whatever, but some of those, okay, that's fine. Some of those trials that we face in life are very minimal in the sense of we think that they're so huge, but we're not putting it in perspective of the Word of God and putting it in perspective of what people have went through in this life, the things that they faced, okay? So, let me start here. In the year of our Lord, 1551, Jerome with his wife, Liskin, and Big Henry fell into the hands of the tyrants for the testimony of Jesus at Antwerp in Brabant. They suffered many severe torments and sharp examinations, but through the grace of God endured them all. And as they through faith were so firmly bound to their captain Christ Jesus that nothing could induce them to apostatize, they brought Jerome Seegers and Big Henry to the slaughter on the second day of September, A.D. 1551. Both, each at a stake, surrendered their bodies in great steadfastness to God, as well as pleasing sacrifice. Liskin Dirks, the wife of Jerome Seegers, who was pregnant, was after her delivery thrust into a bag early in the morning between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning and murderously thrown into the Scheldt and drowned before people were up. Could you imagine just giving birth to a baby and then they take you, they throw you into a bag and they drown you like you're some kind of a cat on a farm somewhere, that they have too many cats? And they thought that they did God service. Nevertheless, there were some that saw it who testified to her firm and steadfast faith unto death. They now rest together under the altar. And now we're going to read the following beautiful letters written by them, which attest to their strong faith. Now, some of these are a little long, and I'm going to try to go, you know, I'm not going to go too fast, but I want you, you know, we have time, okay? It's 5 o'clock, but listen to me. It's okay. This is good. We need this. I want you to think about this, okay? Grace, peace, joy, gladness, consolation, a firm faith, and good assurance together with an ardent love to God. Now he's writing to his wife while she's in prison. I wish to you, my most beloved wife, Liskin Dirks, whom I wedded before God in his holy church and thus took to wife according to the command of the Lord, may consolation, gladness, and joy be increased and multiplied to you, my dear wife. I earnestly pray the Lord that he will comfort you and remove from you that which is too grievous. I well know, my chosen lamb, that you are in great sorrow on my account. But lay aside all sorrow and look to Jesus, the captain and finisher of our faith. And let us henceforth walk in righteousness and holiness as children of peace. And let us make good use of the time of grace and consider what great mercy the Lord has shown us. O, my dear wife, remember how faithful a God we serve. He will not let us be confounded. Remember how faithfully he led the children of Israel with an outstretched arm from Pharaoh's house of bondage and out of Egypt through the Red Sea. And remember how they had to prepare themselves before they could go out and how they did eat the Paschal lamb with the unleavened bread. See, these old Baptists knew their Bible. You understand that? They knew their Bible. They knew what they knew when they faced those inquisitors, they knew the Word of God. And they weren't afraid to face those inquisitors. And neither were the women either, by the way. And I'm going to get to that. You're going to hear it. Those women knew the Bible too. You don't think just because you're a woman, you get out of knowing the Word of God. How are you going to help somebody if you don't know the Bible yourself? They had to eat the Paschal lamb standing in the unleavened bread which they had. They bound up in their clothes and began to go out of the wilderness. And the angel of the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. But when they were closely pressed by Pharaoh and his host, the people began to murmur against Moses, for they had not firm confidence in the Lord that he would lead them out. But the Lord told Moses what he would do and how he would show his power on Pharaoh and his host, and commanded Moses to take the rod and smite the sea. And when Moses smote the sea, it dried up and the waters were divided and stood like walls to the right and to the left, so that they went through the sea on dry ground. When's the last time you wrote your wife a letter and it was this rich with Bible? Right? Pharaoh followed with his host and was drowned with all his lords and people, but Israel passed through unharmed, praised and thanked God. So I'm going to skip down a little bit. He's telling the story of what happened there, and he's explaining that. So also, my most beloved wife, we have not gained all when we had confessed the truth, separated ourselves from the world, and renounced all lust and desires. But we must also fight against the enemies. That is, we must here contend against emperors and potentates and the princes of this world. We must suffer in this world, for Paul has said that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12, we must overcome the world, the sin and death and the devil, not with external swords or spears, but with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and with the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to ward off all the sharp and fiery darts of Satan, with the helmet of salvation on our head, and with the breastplate of righteousness, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You understand how rich these are? This is Bible he's preaching to her. She's in a prison cell somewhere, scared to death, and going through that, and trusting God. She's not some wallflower, though. I want you to understand this. She's not some wallflower that falls apart. She isn't. She knows the Bible, she knows the Word of God, and her husband is using the Word of God to strengthen her. He says, if we are thus strengthened with these weapons, we shall get through the wilderness with Israel and overcome and withstand all our enemies. They shall be confounded who fight against the truth. 2 Timothy 3:8. Now when the children of Israel were out of the wilderness, the dreadful and horrible wilderness where the serpent spewed fire, after they had been wandering 40 years through it and had passed through many dangers and taken so many cities and countries on the side of Jordan, they nevertheless were not yet in possession of the promised land, for they had not yet crossed the Jordan. However, the Lord showed Moses the promised land from afar. O, my dear wife, I have also seen the promised land from afar. I hope soon to come into the beautiful city of which John writes, which is greatly adorned. Her foundations are 12 precious stones, and her walls and streets are of pure and clear gold. And the city has 12 gates, each gate of one pearl, and there is no night there, for the Lord her God lightens her. Revelation 21. And the Lord told Moses that he should not lead the people into the promised land, but Joshua brought them into it, and the Lord led them over Jordan dry shod, and commanded them to keep his commandments and laws, and he should drive out their enemies from before them. But when they transgressed his commandments and laws, the Lord delivered them into the hands of their enemies, so that they were defeated by them. So must we also take the promised land by force, for Christ says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Not until now have I known what it is to contend. See, he's in a jail cell, and he's saying, I haven't known since until now how to contend. See, if you don't go through trials in life, you won't know. If God made your way so smooth, you'll never know what it's like to contend for the faith, to stand up for what is right. So God gives you trials and puts you through them so that you can learn to contend. You can learn to stand. You can learn to trust him. Not until now have I known what it is to contend. No one knows it better than he who has tried it. Such is the subtlety with which they come to seduce us. See, now listen. These Dominicans and these Jesuits were trying to seduce them. Dominicans, see, in this case. The Inquisitors. Right? Well, you're going to hear it. Know that I received your letter through my mother. I read it with tears. I thank you that you so affectionately comforted me thereby, and I rejoice when I heard that you are so well contented. She's in a jail cell, pregnant, in a prison, and she's contented. Are you listening to me? She's contented. Let me inform you, my chosen and beloved wife, Liskin, that I have been before the Margrave. He had with him two Dominicans, a couple devils, sorry, that's my only other, two judges and the clerk of the criminal court. Well, you'll find out these Baptists weren't babies. You're going to hear the way they talk to those inquisitors, and it ain't sweet. There's some bold men and women. He asked me whether I changed my mind yet, and added that he had prevailed upon these two good men or lords to try and win my soul if I would repent. I replied that I would not forsake my faith since it was the truth. They then asked me what my faith was. I said to the monks, ask the Margrave. I have confessed my faith to him. Ask him. They tormented me much, but I would not tell them anything. They asked whence I knew that it was the truth, whether God had spoken orally with me. When they could get nothing else out of me, my confession was read, namely, that I had no regard for the sacrament. I said, no, it is nothing more than a god of bread. The priests were angry because I thus despised their god. They all wished to talk with me. I said, I will not hear you, nor talk with you, but let my brother come here to me, and I will talk with you and confess our faith. You know why he wanted his brother with him? That too, yep. Right? But watch this. Then they asked me whether I was not strong enough in my faith since I appealed to my brother. I replied, yea, my faith is strong enough, but that you may not pervert our words. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. That they then said, we shall not pervert your words. I said, I know you and your roguery well. The Margrave said, it shall be granted to you. I understood him to say that he should bring a Bible with him. The priest said that when the children are baptized, they then have faith. I laughed at it and said, why then do you not go into Turkey and baptize the Turks? If thereby men become believers, as you say, they would all become believers. Go baptize all the Muslims. That's what he's saying. Go baptize all the Muslims, then, if they all become believers when you baptize them. They replied, though the Turks should be baptized, they would still remain Turks. They importuned me greatly to apostatize and become a child of the Roman Church. And the Margrave and the judges felt such unrighteous compassion for me that they said, if your life should be spared and you should repent and become a good child of the Roman Church, I should have good hopes for you, for you have been brought to this in your youth and innocency. I well know by whom, and because you descended from such good parents, and your mother is almost dead with grief. Do you see how they're using? Do you see what they do? They're using their mother. They're using. They're trying to see how that works. You see how Satan works? Okay, now stop here for a second. This is going to be 3 hours, I know, but I'm going to try not to do that to you. But I don't really care. It's good. It's good stuff. But and you need it. And okay, but check this out. What else? How does Satan do that to you? See, he uses people in your family the same way. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See? He does it the same way. They don't even know it. And neither do you. I replied, though the door should stand open and you should say, go, only say I am sorry. I should not go, for I well know that I hold the truth. The Margrave then said, I shall cause you to be burnt alive if you will not hear. I laughed again and said, all that you inflict upon me for my faith, I will willingly suffer. He said, his wife is the greatest heretic in the city. I cannot thank the Lord enough for all the great strength and power which he gives me in this distress. I perceive now that the Lord is with us, for he helps us faithfully out of all distresses. Psalm 91:15. He is such a faithful captain. He gives his servants such courage and strengthens them that they are not afraid. Job 5:22. They neither fear nor tremble because of the great love which they have to their heavenly Father. For Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. For we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:35 to 39. He's writing this to his wife. Therefore, my most beloved wife, Liskin, redeem the time. Be patient in tribulation. Continue instant in prayer. And look constantly to the beautiful promises that are promised us everywhere, if we persevere unto the end. And let us guard well the treasure, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and cannot conceal it. It breaks out everywhere. It is far too precious to be hid. We rejoice greatly in this treasure, which treasures our faith, hope, and love. And these will not leave us destitute, even though they put us singly into the dark dungeons, separated from one another. The treasure is of such a nature that it will not be hid. One calls to the other and so pours out his treasure that it may be seen. We are so cheerful. Eternal praise and thanks be to the Lord. We call, we sing with each other. We have such joy in comforting and strengthening each other. The Lord give us such strength and power that we cannot thank him sufficiently for the great grace which he shows us. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. So you see how he's using the word of God to encourage his wife? While she's in a prison. Hence, my dear wife, cease not to serve the Lord thy God with the whole heart and to follow his footsteps. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. For whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Therefore, my dear wife, give diligence that you pass the time of your sojourning here in fear and trembling, not with such fear and trembling as that we should fear the world and tremble before it, because they rage so against us. But we are to fear and tremble before the Lord, so that we shall keep his commandments and statutes, and thus pass the time of our sojourning here in the fear of the Lord, and receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Then shall we rejoice forever with the Lord, and go to meet him in the resurrection of the dead. Therefore do not fear the world, for the very hairs of your head are all numbered. They have no power except it be given to them from above. And Christ says, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but fear him that who after he has killed the body has power to cast the soul into hell. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and their worm shall not die, and they shall have no rest day nor night. May the Almighty, Eternal, and Strong God to strengthen and comfort you with his blessed word, that you will remain faithful unto the end, and you shall also come under the altar to all the dear children of God, where all tears shall be wiped from our eyes. There are tribulations which will have an end, and there shall our vile body be glorified and be like unto the image of his glory. Then shall our weeping be turned into laughter and our sorrow into joy. Then shall we, who for a little while have been despised and rejected, yea, persecuted and dispersed and put to death with great ignominy, pain and reproach for the testimony of Jesus, triumph forever and live eternally with the Lord. We shall be clothed with white robes, as John testifies in the Revelation concerning the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they lay under the altar, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Oh, that the glorious people shall be, we be, when we shall be with the great multitude. These are they which come out of great tribulation. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, nor shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living waters. Behold, my dear wife, what glorious promises we everywhere find, which God will give to all his dear and true children who here faithfully adhere to him, who have ended their lives to the praise of the Lord and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, my dearly beloved wife, I cannot thank the Lord enough for all his great goodness shown to me. He gives me such strength and power that I cannot express it. He's in a prison cell by Rome, being interrogated by the inquisitors, by the Inquisition. The Dominicans, they are beating him, they are starving him, they are persecuting him, they are trying to mess with his mind. They are trying to get him to recant his faith. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said. He said, Oh, my dearly beloved wife, I cannot thank the Lord enough for all his great goodness shown to me. He gives me such strength and power that I cannot express it. Oh, now I experience that the Lord is a faithful helper in time of need. He does not forsake those that trust in him, for he that trusts in the Lord shall not be confounded. He will keep us as the apple of his eye. He will deliver us from all the power of the devil and the tyranny of this world. Yea, he will keep us that we shall not go into hell if we remain faithful to him unto the end. For Christ says, He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, my dearly beloved wife, continue faithful to the Lord unto death, for the crown is not at the beginning, nor in the middle, but at the end. If you continue faithful to the Lord, he will not forsake you. He will give you the crown of eternal life and lead you into his kingdom. He will crown you with glory and honor and will wipe away all tears from your eyes. Dear Liskin, if he will wipe away all tears, must here first be shed. See, how can God can't wipe them away if they're not shed here first. He will heal us from our sufferings. Hence, we must first suffer in this world. Yea, we must fight and contend against ferocious lions, dragons, and bears. Yea, against the wicked and perverse generation of vipers and serpent rulers, and against the subtle serpents of this world and the wicked seed of Cain. For Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of the darkness and principalities and powers of this world. Yea, against the spirits that work in the air, which is the old serpent and Satan, who, as Peter says, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8, therefore defend yourself diligently with prayer and supplication to the Lord, and hold fast to the doctrine of Jesus Christ our Savior, that you may receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Fight with Paul the good fight. Herewith I commend you, my dearly beloved wife and sister, to the almighty, eternal, and strong God, and to the word of his rich grace, that you may be able to stand against all the gates of hell. Amen. That's the first letter that he wrote her. He writes a letter to his friends. I'm not going to read that to you. I'm going to continue on with his letters to his wife. A letter from Jerome Seegers written to his wife. Another one here. The grace and mercy of God the Father, the loving kindness and love of the Son, with the communion and peace of the Holy Ghost, who is sent us by the Father, through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the consolation and joy of all truth and faithful children, and by whom we are all impelled, taught, and led, the same keep your hearts, understanding, and mind in Christ Jesus, to the praise and glory of the Father, to the salvation of your afflicted soul, and to the edification of all brethren and sisters that fear and love the Lord. To this only wise God be glory, honor, power, and strength forever and ever. Amen. I wish to you, my dear wife, a true, genuine, godly love, a true, unfeigned, penitent faith, which works by love, a firm hope and confidence in God, and a firm steadfastness in your faith towards God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To him I commend you, and to the word of his grace. And since I cannot converse orally with you, my dear wife, I have, with the help of God, written to you a little from the word of the Lord. For though we are absent from each other in the flesh, yet are we present in the Spirit. For I remember you day and night in my prayers, beseeching the Lord to strengthen you with his Spirit of truth, since I well know that you will have much conflict yet before you will be released. And I also know that you will be greatly tempted. Listen. He's warning his wife. And you and I have to understand, these are good lessons for husbands right here, these letters for husbands and wives. It's probably what I'm going to, lessons from Baptist history for husbands and wives, probably going to do something, call it something like that. But these are good lessons. If you're paying attention, you'll pick up some things that you could learn here. He's equipping his wife. He's telling her, I know what's coming. He says this, he says, and I also know that you will be greatly tempted by the cunning foxes and ravening wolves, yea, which are much more lions and dragons, yea, a generation of vipers who will not spare your soul, but destroy, devour, and murder it. He didn't have a lot nice to say about Rome here. He told the truth about what they were. You mean unlike the Baptist pastors today, unlike the ones today that get mad when you call out Billy Graham and his work with the Pope in Rome and the Jesuits, a degree from a Jesuit university? I'll stick with this group. They can have their group. Bunch of devils. Hence, Paul says, beware lest any man spoil you through false philosophy and the sleight of men, whereby they lie to wait and wait to receive, or deceive. If you're not picking up that this isn't King James, just remember this is 1551. There is no 1611 yet. Okay? So just remember that. Makes sense, right? It's not there. Hence, Paul says, yea, Christ himself has warned us in this respect, saying that in the latter days many false prophets and many false Christs shall arise, in so much that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. But this is impossible. Oh. For the Lord preserves them with his strong arm, so that the gates of hell cannot harm them. Paul says that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created. Let no man deceive you with vain words. I don't have time for that one. We'll save that for later. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Christ has also warned us of the doctrine of the Pharisees, yea, of those who come in sheep's clothing, for inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits, Matthew 16:6-15. Even as Paul says, marvel not that the ministers of Antichrist will transform themselves into the ministers of God. Nothing's changed. It's only getting worse. Since Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light, for they come in a feigned holiness and will speak lies. Oh, I've met some of those. I've seen their fangs. That might be a little too real for some of you. Therefore, see, my most beloved Lamb, how faithfully Christ and his apostles have warned us of the false and subtle serpent, that we should not suffer ourselves to be deceived by the old serpent, which is the devil. You realize this is a letter to his wife. It is. It's a sermon. That's why I'm not afraid to bring this to you right now, because it's so full, chock full of Bible and teaching. which is the devil and Satan, who seeks nothing but to bring our souls into everlasting damnation, even as Peter says that he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Him resist with a firm faith. Therefore, I beseech you, my dear wife, from the bottom of my heart, since we are so faithfully warned of the false prophets who have nothing but doctrines of devils and seek nothing but to ruin and devour souls, therefore I beseech you once more not to hearken to them and to have nothing to do with them. For Paul says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Yea, John says that he that has not the doctrine of Christ has not God. And Paul says, though an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If they then have not God and have nothing but a false, heretical, accursed, and devilish doctrine, how can they teach us anything good? Therefore, Christ and his apostles have so faithfully warned us that we should not suffer ourselves to be deceived by the cunning foxes and subtle philosophy and craftiness. For there should, you mean like C.S. Lewis? Yeah, like that guy. For there shall never any other foundation be laid than that which is laid, namely Christ, upon whom you have founded and built, and no other gospel may be preached than that which is preached, in which you believe, and for the testimony of which you are also in bonds. Hence I beseech you, my dear wife, listen, by the mercies of God, constantly to have the word of the Lord before your eyes, and not to suffer yourself to be moved from your faith by the sleight of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. For I know that you will suffer much temptation yet. Therefore, my most beloved, look not unto men, for cursed is the man, says the prophet, that trusteth in men. Yea, the fear of man bringeth a snare, says the wise man. And regard not the torture of the flesh and blood, for this is the heat of the sun, yea, the storms by which the work of the Lord is tried. Hence confess Christ now, and he shall confess us before his heavenly Father. For he will try the third part with fire, as gold in the furnace, and all that remains shall be pure gold. You have partly passed through the trial, and have remained steadfast in it. Eternal glory, praise, and honor to the Lord, and may the gracious Lord strengthen you, that as you have commenced, you may be found pure gold before God and all his church. Thus, my most beloved, continue steadfast in the doctrine of Christ, for now is the day of which Christ spoke, that we should be brought before lords and princes for a testimony to his name, that we should be rejected by all men. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And Christ says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Behold, my dear wife, thus Christ has warned us how they should deal with us. Therefore, my dear, fear not, neither despond, though you now are confined with Daniel in the den of lions. Trust in the Lord, and he will preserve you, that they shall not destroy you. He will also deliver you from their teeth, and they shall not tear you. Forsake him not, and he will not forsake you. For he says, he that despiseth you despiseth me. He that persecuteth you persecuteth me. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of mine eye. If they then do not persecute us, but the Lord, fight valiantly as a pious soldier of Christ, and contend for his glory. And even as he fought unto death, so by the grace of God do also you. For Paul says, if a man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Therefore, my dear, put on the whole armor of God, and be not ashamed to confess his word before men. But always remember the words of Christ, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him also shall I be ashamed before my heavenly Father. For whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, but whosoever loseth his life for the sake of the gospel shall find it. But he that loveth aught more than me cannot be my disciple. Yea, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Sound familiar? And Paul says it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. Hence, my beloved, my most beloved, do not forsake the Lord. For we are nothing but dust and ashes, yea, nothing but mortal flesh. which must die in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. Be patient, therefore, in tribulation, for it is true. It is the true way which leads to life eternal, which all the saints of God, the prophets and apostles, yea, Christ himself went, all having to drink of this cup. Therefore, look not to death, but through death, lest another come before you and take your crown. Hence, my most beloved, be long-suffering in your tribulation and patience in suffering, and wait for your deliverance, even as the husband waits for his fruits. For blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. For Christ says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Behold, we count them happy which endure, says James. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. For as much then as Christ has suffered, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. With this agree the words of John, who says that Christ laid down his life for us and that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hence, be not discouraged, chosen and beloved, at their threatening. Could you imagine being a pregnant woman in a dark dungeon somewhere and these guys are coming in and all they're doing is working on your mind? If you just recant, you can leave. You know, you can go. You don't have to sit here. Just turn. Just accept Rome's baptism. Just turn. You don't have to. You don't have to die. You don't have to go through this. And she's pregnant. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you for my name's sake. My dear, this is not said that we should be sad, but that we should rejoice, that we are worthy to suffer for his name. Paul says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hence, my most beloved, be a willing bride and prepare for the conflict. He's preparing his wife. He's trying to strengthen her in her faith. Right? For he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way for you to escape. Ladies, I think sometimes you think these verses are just applied to your husband. I think sometimes you think that this war, that you're not a soldier because you're a lady. Right? Sometimes. He's not talking to her like that, is he? Now listen to me. Ladies, I love you, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to get a little bit tougher. I don't want you to change who you are and change the sweet spirit that you have, but you're going to have to get stronger and you're going to have to get tougher. You're going to have to endure some hardness and not fall apart. You're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You understand? All of you. That's not just for men. It's for you too. You have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Your call is no less than that of any man in this room in the sense of enduring afflictions, being patient, serving the Lord in the station where God has placed you, and being strong spiritually and enduring hardness. Right? It's no different. It's just a different, you may have different responsibilities, but your heart is to be the same. Amen. For though a mother forget her child, yet will not I forget thee, says the Lord. He will preserve you as the apple of his eye. Therefore fear not men who perish like grass, but valiantly journey with Joshua and Caleb to the promised land. Wait with Noah for the day of the Lord, for Christ says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. But the voice of strangers they hear not, and no man shall pluck them out of his hand, since it is impossible that the elect of God should be deceived, as Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Nay, no torments of this world, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. Do you understand what he's saying? This is to his wife he's saying this to strengthen. Since it is the will of the Lord, I hope that this your trial will also be for your good. For the Lord has appointed your time, which we cannot pass. Hence, fear not, for God is your captain. He is your strength. He is your guide. Forsake him not. He will not forsake you. Trust in him, and you shall not be ashamed. Be faithful unto death. The crown of life is prepared for you. I desire willingly to offer up my body to the praise of God. Yea, not only my body, but if every member, yea, every hair were a body, I would through the power of God offer them all up to the praise of the Lord in order to obtain his promises. For what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Yea, Peter says that we shall be partakers of his divine nature. Yea, we shall be where Christ himself will be, and shall with him judge all nations. Yea, we shall follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. We shall sing the new song on Mount Zion, and we know assuredly that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God eternal in the heavens. Who would exalt this corrupt, decaying flesh, which is nothing but a heap of earth, over these beautiful promises? Oh, see what beautiful promises Christ has given his own, who remain steadfast unto the end. For there is no other way to eternal life than this way. For all righteous souls from the beginning have had to suffer and thus gain possession of the kingdom of God. Hence, my most beloved wife, since there is no other way, be a willing bride, prepared to receive your bridegroom, and you will then be crowned with praise and honor. Thus, my most beloved, I have written a few things with which you may somewhat strengthen yourself through the word of the Lord. For Christ says, the world shall rejoice and you shall be sorrowful, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And your sorrow shall be turned into joy, and your joy no man taketh from you. For he that worketh in us is stronger than he that is in the world. And John says that our faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Always remember Lot's wife. And the man of God who was slain by the lion because he had eaten bread contrary to God's command, being deceived by the false prophet. Thus you also suffer yourself in no wise to be deceived by false prophets, but fight with the prophet David against Goliath, and you shall devour him like bread. For the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent who remain steadfast take it by force. For Joshua and Caleb took the promised land by force, and those that were not steadfast could not enter into it. Hence be not dismayed, though you are tried here for a little season, for it is his will. Therefore, receive willingly from his hand whatever he sends you. For Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For Christ means to show his wonderful power and strengthen you against the dragons and the generation of vipers, yea, against the ravening wolves who daily resist Christ and fight against you to destroy you. But behold and trust in Christ. He will not forsake you, for he is your strength. He cares for you, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He is your protector, by whom you shall overcome all your adversaries. For he shall feed you with the bread of life, yea, with the bread of understanding, and give you water of wisdom to drink, and shall comfort you in all your tribulation, and impress into your heart a firm and steadfast faith, which they shall not be able to resist. He who has begun this good work in you will through his grace and power also perform it unto the day of Christ and finish it, and is praised to the salvation of your soul and to the edification of all them that fear the Lord. To this God, who can deliver you from all tribulation, preserve you from the snares of the devil and from all false doctrine, from all snares of the devil be praise, honor, and from all false doctrine be praise, honor, power, and strength forever and ever. Amen. See, my dear wife, as I cannot help you with my weeping or with my blood, I have written a few things to comfort you and for memorial or a testament that you may remember me by it, how I walked before you. For I hope to seal this letter with my blood. Namely, that it is nothing but the pure truth for which I desire to lay down my life to the praise of the Lord and the edification of all that fear him. I pray the Lord that he will let you follow me as I, through his grace, hope to go before you. I mean, they know they're going to die. They know they're going to kill him. He's just telling his wife, I want to go first before you. And I trust in the Lord that he will let you follow me thus and have confidence in you, that you will follow me thus steadfastly through the grace of the Lord. And I pray the Lord that he will let the fruit grow up to his praise, that it may also be found worthy to suffer his name, for his name. Thus I have commended the fruit to the Lord, who is more able to preserve you and it than I am, and that the Lord will preserve you, I do not doubt. I hope that my blood will be the seal of this letter. This I commend you to the Lord. Thus I commend you to the Lord, to the word of his grace, that he will keep you in all righteousness, holiness, and truth. And though we must separate here, I know and firmly trust in the Lord that we shall be together in life eternal. Hence I will freely bring my offering. Oh, that I might suffer for you. I should gladly offer my flesh for you. I am sorry that I can write to you no more. I herewith commend you to the Lord. Be not solicitous about the child. You know what he's talking about, right? The baby she's pregnant with? Imagine what that's doing to a lady's mind right there as she's thinking about, they're going to kill me. What are they going to do with my child? He was able to continue to write her, which I'll get to, but which was for a short. He longer than what he thought. I am sorry that I can write you. I herewith commend you to the Lord. Be not solicitous about the child, for my friends will take good care of it. Yea, the Lord will care for it. Hendrik of Deventer salutes you much in the Lord, whom he entreats day and night for you, that you may continue steadfast unto the end. This is another letter that he wrote to his wife. Grace, peace, heartfelt joy through the knowledge of Jesus Christ be with you, my dear wife, Liskin, in the Lord. I wish you, my dear wife, Liskin, an ardent love to God and a joyful mind to Christ Jesus. I know that I remember you day and night in my prayers, supplicating and sighing to God for you, for I am very sorrowful on your account because you have to be imprisoned so long. And I would fain wish it had been the will of the Lord that you had been released, but now the Lord has willed it otherwise, because he means to try you and to reveal his power and strengthen you against all those who resist the truth. Hence, I can do nothing against the will of the Lord, lest I tempt him, but I will much rather praise and thank him that he has made us both worthy to suffer for his name. For thereto are all his chosen lambs elected, for he has redeemed them from among men as the first fruits unto God. I mean, he's like, I wish you would have been released, but you're not. And he's accepted the will of God. He's accepted the will of God that his wife is not going to be released and she's going to die. Furthermore, my most beloved, I have greatly rejoiced unto this hour, praising and thanking the Lord for having fitted us for this purpose. But when I heard from you, now could you imagine being a husband and hearing this? Now listen. But when I heard from you that your sorrow was greater than your lips could express, it caused me to weep many tears and grieves my heart, for it is a great affliction. And I understood that it is because you often told me to depart from Assyrus, which I did not do. This has cost me many a tear, and I am very sorry. Yet I can do nothing against the will of the Lord. And had it been his will, he would have provided a deliverance for us. But he has appointed our bounds, which we cannot pass. Thus we cannot escape from the Lord. Hence, let us not be grieved at his work, but much rather, as Christ says, let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is our reward in heaven. And as Peter said, we ought to praise and glorify God on this behalf. Oh, my dear, this is not said that we should sorrow, but be patient, therefore, in your tribulation and suffering. For Paul says that all things work together for good to them that love God. Hence, I have confidence in the Lord that it will also be for your good, that you have to be in prison so long. Therefore, receive willingly at his hand whatever he sends you, prisoner of the Lord. For he suffers no one to be tempted above that he is able. Hence, be a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. For all that are without chastisement are bastards and not sons. And James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Be therefore a follower of Christ. Patiently and joyfully take up your cross and follow him with gladness, since he has suffered so much for our salvation. Hence, let us also suffer for his praise. Since our hour has now come, let us joyfully strive for the crown of life, which is prepared for us. Think about this. Therefore, I pray you, my love, that you will not sorrow any longer, for the Lord will preserve you as the apple of his eye. Through a mother, though a mother forgets her child, yet shall I not forget thee, says the Lord. Yea, my sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. They follow me, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Therefore, my most beloved, be content and trust in the Lord. He will not forsake you. Moreover, I learned partly from my sister that you also grieved because you were not more patient with me. So she's in prison and she's thinking about all the things that she was not patient with him. Yeah. So it's bothering her. She's thinking about it. He says, see, my dear lamb, you have not been obstinate towards me, and we have not lived together otherwise, and we were in duty bound to live. Why then will you grieve? Be content. Christ will not lay it to your charge, for he will not remember our sins. He's telling her, no, you were fine. Don't worry about it. She's thinking about everything. And the devil's like, phew. To me, this is extremely heavy. I'm sorry, it just is. I thank the Lord that you live so humbly with me as you did. Gladly would I be imprisoned for you for a whole year on bread and water, yea, and then die a tenfold death if you could be released. Oh, that I could help you with my tears and with my blood. How willingly should I suffer for you, but my suffering can avail you nothing. Hence, be contented. I will pray the Lord still more for you. I have written this letter in tears because I heard that your grief is so very great. I pray that you will write to me how you are. Herewith I commend you to the Lord. Now here's a letter from his wife. This is now her writing back to him. Grace and peace be to both of us from God the Father, and the love of the Son, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us, to the strengthening, consolation, joy, and salvation of our souls. This is his wife. My beloved husband in the Lord, know that at first the time seemed very long to me because I was not used to imprisonment and heard nothing but temptations to depart from the Lord. They said, why do you trouble yourself with the scriptures? Attend to your sowing. It seems that you would follow the apostles. Where are the signs which you do? Do you understand what they're doing? What? Well, they're mocking her, but what else are they doing? There you go. There you go. If you're paying attention, you'll catch it. That's exactly what they're doing. They're working on her emotions, and they're trying to create doubt in her. And lady, if you'd wake up and understand, that's what the devil does to you every time you want to do something for God. Every time something goes on in your life, every time you get struggling with something and you get shaken, it's the devil trying to shake you up. Not just ladies, men too. Well, they spake with different tongues after they received the Holy Ghost. So what is he saying? Well, you're not saved. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't speak in tongues. And you're in prison. So what do you waste your time? Just go sow and don't worry about it. Just get out of here. What's a little recantation of your faith? See what they're doing? And they said, where is your language, which you received through the Holy Ghost? But it is sufficient for us that we have believed through their word. As John tells us, where Christ says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. Herewith I commend you to the Lord. The grace of God be with us always. Thanks be to God the Father, who had and showed such love to us that he gave his dear Son for us. He gave us such love, joy, wisdom, and such steadfastness of mind through Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we prevail against all ravenous beasts, dragons, serpents, and all the gates of hell, which are now using great subtlety to seize, deceive, destroy, and seduce our souls. This letter preaches harder than most men in pulpits today. This letter is a greater warning than pastors will give today. Well, may we therefore humbly pray the Lord without ceasing day and night, for the devourer walks about us, seeking whom he may devour. For we are not ignorant of his designs. But though they are very crafty, yet the Lord's hand is not shortened in them that love him and to do his will. For the eyes of the Lord are upon those that love him, and his ears are open unto their cry. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Hence let every one take good heed that the face of the Lord be not against him. For the soul that sinneth, it shall die, unless he repent before the Lord come. But we are not assured of the time when the Lord will come, for he shall come as a thief in the night. Hence we may well pray the Lord for one another, that our flight be not on the Sabbath day when we are idle, nor in the winter when we have no fruit on our trees. For every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. But every tree that beareth good fruit he shall purge, that it may bring forth fruit abundantly. The mouth of the Lord also tells us, if any man sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. The Holy Ghost also declares, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Then she quotes him 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 through 13, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. And 1 Peter 2, 23. Thus we also, my most beloved in the Lord, to his praise and to the consolation of our dear friends, I wish to us both the crucified Savior for an everlasting joy and strength. I trust to the Lord, who alone is wise, and who has given his wisdom only to the simple, the innocent, and outcasts of this world, that he will comfort us till our travail is over. My dear husband in the Lord, whom I married before God and his church, with whom they say I have lived in adultery because I was not married in Baal. But the Lord says, rejoice when all men shall speak evil of you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, I'm going to stop there and say, why did she say that? Jacob. Speak up. Do you understand that? They said she was living in adultery because the Anabaptist or the Baptist preacher that married them wasn't part of Rome. So they said their marriage was illegitimate and that she, and they were calling her a whore, basically. Mm-hmm. Yep. The same thing they did to the Baptists, and that's when they shot up the courthouse. Huh? Yeah, the Anglican priest said that the Baptists weren't really married, and they called their wives and daughters whores, so they shot up the courthouse, and, well, they had a little problem. They got a little rowdy. They hung for it, but not in the end. After that old Battle of Alamance, and then Kings Mountain came back around. It was payback time, and they got it too. They paid him back good. They knocked that old officer off the top of that hill, and he died at the bottom of that hill, like they said, like he said he wasn't gonna. Anyway, that's another story for another day. We'll talk about the Battle of Alamance, the Battle of Kings Mountain sometime. Where was that? Yeah, Tennessee. Yeah, crossed over the hill there. Yeah, yeah. Well, they came over from Tennessee, yeah. They were hiding out there for a while, built up an army, and the officer said to them, well, if you, Lord Tryon's men said, well, if you come over here, if you come over back over this mountain, or no, he told them, we're going to go over there, and we're going to kill your families, and we're going to rape your daughters, and we're going to steal your women. And they said, okay, let's go. So they led an army of basically like mercenaries back over the hills, and they got up on King's Mountain, and they killed him. And King's Mountain is really what won the war. It's really what won the war. Anyway, I've got a book, Testimonies of King's Mountain. Wow. That's something, man. But the men that fought in there was Tidens Lane, all his sons. They were Baptists. That was a Baptist army that went across there. Yes. It was a Baptist army that went across there. Kings Mountain won that war.
Is there a movie about that?
Yes, the Over Mountain Men. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Okay, where was I? Let's see here. Know that I have wept much because you were grieved on my account, having heard that I said that I had often spoken to you about moving away from Assyrus, and that you did not do it. Be content concerning this, my most beloved in the Lord. If it had not been the will of the Lord, it would not have happened. The Lord's will must be done for the salvation of both our souls, for he will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able. Be of good cheer, therefore, my most beloved in the Lord, and rejoice in him as before, praising and thanking him for having chosen us to be imprisoned so long for his name, having been found worthy thereto. He knows for what end he has ordered it so. Though the children of Israel were a long time in the wilderness, yet had they been obedient to the voice of the Lord, they would have entered the promised land with Joshua and Caleb. Thus also we are here in the wilderness among these ravening beasts which daily spread out their nets to catch us. But the Lord, who is so strong, does not forsake his own who trust in him. He preserves them from all evil, yea, as the apple of his eye. Hence let us be content in him, joyfully and patiently take up our cross, and wait with a firm confidence for the promises which he has given us, not doubting them. For he is faithful that promised, that we may be crowned on Mount Zion and adorned with palms, and may follow the Lamb, I pray you, my beloved in the Lord. Be of good cheer in him, together with all the dear friends, and pray to the Lord on my behalf. Amen. Now here's another follow-up letter. Here's another follow-up letter from him to his wife. He gives her a greeting, and then he says, let me start here. And so did I take you to wife according to the word and command of God, and not as this wicked blind world. For this reason I praise and thank the Lord night and day that he spared us so long till we became acquainted in part with each other and had attained unto the knowledge of the truth, on which account they say that we lived in adultery because we were not married like this idolatrous generation in an idolatrous, carnal, vain, proud, and gluttonous manner, which is nothing but an abomination in the eyes of God. On this account they slander us as they did Christ. No, he didn't, did he? And though they may well tell you to attend to your sowing, this does not prevent us, for Christ has called us all and commanded us to search the Scriptures, since they testify of him. And Christ also said that Magdalene had chosen the better part because she searched the Scriptures. Moreover, my most beloved, though they ask you where your signs and tongues are, this must not hinder you. For the believers whom Peter and John baptized did not speak with tongues, but it was enough for them that they believed in Christ. And also Stephen, who was full of the Holy Ghost, did not speak with tongues, nor did any of the bishops or teachers who were with Paul perform signs and speak with tongues. Yet they taught the word of God blamelessly. And Paul says that the Holy Ghost distributes his gifts in the church, one as the gift of healing, another of prophecy, another speaking with tongues, another the working of miracles, another a gift of exhortation. Though whom they mutually assist each other to their own edification, and thus grow into a holy temple. And let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Moreover, it is enough for us that Christ prayed not only for his disciples, but also for those who should believe on him through their word. Beloved, behold my beloved wife in the Lord, how gladly the ravening wolves would murder the souls of the simple with their lies and subtlety, whereby they lie in wait to deceive in order to bring your soul into eternal death. Hence beware of them and hearken not unto them, since they are very crafty, but do as Christ says. My sheep hear my voice. They hear not the voice of strangers. Hence no man shall pluck them out of his hand. See, my beloved, how Christ has warned us of this time. Let us therefore look well before us, lest the subtle serpent deceive us. And know that I have also been before the Lord's once, when I called to you, and that I then spoke in such a manner that they let me in peace. Though the others were arraigned twice after this, yet I was left unmolested. Once I also had a discussion with the priest in regard to the calling or sending of ministers, in which I so reproved them with the word of the Lord that they became so angry that they struck on the table with their fist and did not know what to say. For they said that Peter was a pope and that Andrew read the first mass. I replied that they could not prove it in truth and told them they were seducing spirits and held the doctrines of devils. Then they went away. Moreover, know, my beloved wife in the Lord, I am sorry that you wept, for when I heard that you grieved, I prayed the more fervently to the Lord, day and night for you, and know assuredly that he will preserve you as the apple of his eye. I constantly praise the Lord that he has made us, both worthy to suffer for his name, for which cause I greatly rejoice. When I read your letter and learned how it was with you, and that you wished the crucified Christ to me for a salutation, my heart and my spirit leaped up for joy in my body, so that I could not finish reading the letter, but had to bow my knees before the Lord and praise and thank him for his strength, consolation, and joy, although I was afflicted on account of our brethren and you, because you have to be in prison there so long. I have committed you, together with the fruit. You know what he's talking about? The baby. Into the hands of the Lord, being confident beyond a doubt that he will give you the same joy which he gives to me and keep you unto the end. This man has got joy. This man is going to, he knows he's going to be put to death. And his wife is. Now, it's bad enough that you're going to be. But to know that your wife was safe, you could die and have your head chopped off if you knew she was going to be safe. A lot easier. But to know that she's imprisoned and being tortured for her faith, right? And he's encouraging her to hold fast to the faith because he's like, man, I hope she's really saved. I mean, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't back off. Because he's being tried in the furnace. Yes. I experienced such joy and gladness in his promises that I never think on these torments, but only on the great promises which he has given to those who remain steadfast unto the end. I have such gladness, consolation, and joy as I never had, yea, such joy that I cannot utter or describe it, yea, that I did not believe that a person could have such joy in prison. And you and I have a couple trials in our heads hanging down low. We have a few challenges and we act like the world's over. Right? Few things happen and we're done. We fold up like an accordion. Right? For day and night, I can scarcely sleep for joy. He's not saying for pity, for because I'm worried or I'm nervous. No, he can't sleep for joy. He's energized by the Lord. Nor sufficiently thank and praise God, praise the Lord, for it seems as though I had not been here but a day, had not been here a day yet. And that's why when I read these, that's why I get so angry with people that try to label these men and try to destroy their testimonies, just like Rome did. And they mock the trail of blood, and they say all kinds of nonsense, and they do the same exact garbage that Rome did. And that's why I get very upset. Oh, that I might break my heart into pieces and give it to you and our brethren. Oh, that I could help them with my blood. I should so gladly suffer for them. Oh, my beloved in the Lord, I now experience how mightily, strongly, and fatherly he preserves those who trust in him and seek nothing but his glory. Yea, what strength, consolation, and joy he gives them, and how ignominiously he permits them to fall who trust in men and forsake and deny him, so that they get a torturing conscience and a sorrowful heart and a dreadful horror. Yea, look for nothing but external damnation and the pain of fire, and expect to hear the terrible words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire, for the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Behold, therefore, my beloved wife in the Lord, let us look unto Jesus, the finisher, how he went before us into death for our salvation. For behold, the crown of life is prepared for us. We shall sit with him upon his throne. We shall be clothed in white robes. Herewith I commend you with the crucified Christ for consolation and joy, that he will keep you, satisfy you with his divine word, feed you with the bread of life and of understanding, and give you to drink the water of wisdom and the unadulterated milk from the fountain of life. May he keep your soul into salvation. Amen. All right, I'm not quite done yet. Bear with me here. Let's see. I might not read all of these to you. Let's see. This is the last one. This is when she dies. Okay. Okay, this is a letter from his wife. Back to him, a letter to his wife. I earnestly beseech you that he will give us, beseech him that he will give us such love and such a steadfast mind that we may be found fit to receive the beautiful promises which he has given to us if we continue steadfast unto the end. I cannot thank or praise the Lord sufficiently for the great grace, the unfathomable mercy and great love which he has shown us, that we should be his sons and daughters if we overcome even as he overcame. Oh, well, may we say that true faith, which works by love and which will bring us to glory if we suffer with him, is actuated by things not seen. Let us consider, dear friends in the Lord, what great love worldly men have towards one another. There are some in prison, I have heard say, who rejoiced when about to go to the rack, because they should then be near unto those whom they loved, though they could not come together in prison. Hearken, my beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, if the world has such love, what love then ought we to have who expect such glorious promises? I also have before me the beautiful example of a bride, how she adorns herself to please her bridegroom of this world. Oh, how ought we then to adorn ourselves to please our bridegroom? Oh, that we might be adorned as were the five wise virgins with oil in their lamps to meet our bridegroom, that we might also hear the sweet voice, "Come, ye blessed, inherit the kingdom of my Father." I pray the Lord day and night to give us such fervent love that we may not regard the torments which they inflict upon us. Yea, may say with the prophet David, "I fear nothing of all that men can do unto me." And this our pain, which is light and temporal, is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Since then it is the will of the Lord that with Daniel I must remain so long in the den of lions and await the howling and ravening wolves and lions and the old serpent which was from the beginning and shall be unto the end. Therefore I entreat all my dear brethren and sisters to remember me in their prayers. I will gladly do the same according to my ability. Oh, my dear friends, how can I sufficiently thank my heavenly Father that he has made me, poor sheep, fit to remain in bonds so long for his name's sake? Do you understand she's thanking God for it? She's thanking God for the bonds that she's in. When's the last time you thanked God for the trials you were in? When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you thanked God for the trials that he was giving you? I pray the Lord day and night that this my trial may tend to the salvation of my soul, to the praise of the Lord, and to the edification of my dear brethren and sisters. Nicholas brought two priests to me to instruct me, whom I answered by the grace of the Lord. They told me they were sorry that I had embraced this opinion, which they could not call a faith, but only an opinion, since we observe nothing commanded by the Christian church. I replied to them, "We desire to do or believe nothing but what the Church of Christ commands us, but we will have nothing to do with the temple of Baal or with other temples made with hands after the doctrines and commandments of men and not after Christ. With these we will have nothing at all to do. For Stephen says that the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands, but he said that he saw the heavens open and Christ sitting on the right hand of his Almighty Father. And Paul says that we are the temple of the living God. If we do his will, he will dwell and walk with us. They said they were the sent and those who sit in Moses' seat. I replied to them that in this case, that woes spoken of in Matthew 23 applied to them. They said, "I sit in Moses' seat." She said, "Well, Matthew 23 applies to you and all the woes that go along with it. Those are yours." They asked me whether I meant to say that he who taught me these things was sent of God. I said, "Yes, I assuredly know that he is sent of God." Then they asked me whether I knew how a teacher ought to be. I answered, "A teacher must be the husband of one wife, blameless, having his children in subjection, no drunkard, winebibber, or whoremonger." This is his wife. "If we do wrong, it will fall on our own heads. The Lord is merciful." That's what they said to her. I then asked whether they would sin upon the mercy of God, and said it was written that we should not add sin unto sin, and say the Lord is merciful. I told them that they were learning, they were ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow. Yeah. They then said that Christ said to his apostles, "To you it is given to understand, but to others in parables." I replied, "They who now rightly understand it, to them it is also given. Finally, they crossed themselves over and over and said that I should find it out when I should stand before the judgment. That is true, I said. We shall there be appointed judges to judge this disobedient and adulterous generation. With this, they went their way. They went away. I also told them that they had come from Satan to murder my soul. Once more, I wish to my dear husband and the Lord and to myself the crucified Christ as an imperishable joy and love forever. Amen. No, my dear husband and the Lord, when I read that you rejoice so greatly in the Lord, I could not finish reading the letter but had to pray to the Lord that he would give me the same joy and keep me unto the end so that we may offer our sacrifice with joy to the praise of our Father who is in heaven and to the edification of all the dear brethren and sisters. Herewith I commend you to the Lord and to the word of his grace. Know that I thank you very much for the letter you wrote me. The grace of the Lord be with us always. She writes him again here. It's a short letter. She says, I wish to us both the crucified Christ for the protector and guardian of our souls. May he keep us in all righteousness, holiness, and truth. I'll skip down to this. My dear beloved husband in the Lord, you have partly passed through this trial and have remained steadfast. Eternal praise and glory to the Lord for his great grace. And I beseech the Lord with tears to make me also fit to suffer for his name, for all his chosen lambs are appointed thereto, since he has redeemed them from among men to be the first fruits unto God. Yea, we know, as Paul says, that if we suffer with him, we also shall reign with him. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Hence let us not despise the chastening of the Lord, for whom he loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, as Paul tells us. So she commends him to the Lord, and then he writes her another letter. I wish to my chosen wife in the Lord and to me eternal joy and the imperishable, incorruptible life, and may he grant that we both adhere unchangingly to his divine word and truth. So he's exhorting her to remain steadfast in the faith. Let's see, let me skip that. Hence, let us diligently take heed that we seek and fear and love the Lord from the bottom of our heart, faithfully serving and not forsaking him. For Christ says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Even as we daily see how mightily he preserves those who trust in him, and how soon they fall who forsake Christ to put their trust in the man. Therefore, my beloved wife in the Lord, let us trust in the Lord Almighty, constantly look to Jesus, the captain and finisher of our faith. Always keep the crucified Christ before our eyes. You know how you don't give up and quit? You always keep the crucified Christ before your eyes. No matter what trial you're facing and what you're going through, in your marriage, challenges in your life, in your work, in the faith, whatever they may be, you put Christ first and him crucified, and you never forget that. As he went before us and patiently take up our cross, always remembering the words of Christ where he says that they shall kill us and will think that they do him service, and remembering that this is told us beforehand, that when it happens to us, we may not be offended, for the servant is not greater than his Lord. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us the power of God. Hence let us always remember the words of Christ. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. He talks about the denying again. Let's see here. My dearly beloved, let us therefore firmly trust the Lord. I mean, he preaches almost a sermon to her. My dearly beloved, let us therefore firmly trust the Lord and patiently wait for his promises, even as the husband waits for his fruits. And let us not forsake him, and he will not forsake us. I have committed us both and also the fruit into his hands to do his divine will with us, that his name may be glorified thereby, and that it may tend to the salvation of our souls. He will preserve us. Know that I rejoice greatly when I read your letter that you write, that you pray the Lord with weeping eyes to make you fit to suffer for his name. My beloved, be not anxious, but pray the Lord with a humble heart to give us what is best for our souls, which he will doubtless do and will not tempt us above that we are able. May he keep us in all righteousness, holiness, and truth unto the end. Know also, my beloved, that they greatly tortured me to find out the midwives where our sisters lay in childbed. Sick. Oh, listen. If I read the account of the Dominicans and the Jesuits, which I may read sometime, the specifics of it. See, that's too graphic. Well, they read them to their churches. Know also, my beloved, that they greatly tortured me to find out the midwives where our sisters lay in childbed. But the Lord who kept my lips was stronger than all their tortures. Eternal praise and glory be to the Lord who does not forsake his own. So you see why it's like a little trial when your family gets mad at the gospel or at your preacher or at the sermons I preach or something like that? Psh. Big deal. They obtained no names from me save one or two, which they had read to me from a letter, in which I told them to see what they would say. But they asked me whether I was making sport of them and tortured me still more, demanding that I should tell them concerning the women and others, or they would torture me till the next morning and stretch me a foot longer than I was. Henri Baptist, weren't they? They still are, the real ones. They told Galen to rack, and his assistant racked vigorously, and Jillian poured my body full of water. They had me lying stark naked on the bench with nothing but a shirt to cover my shame. I was bound to the bench. By the way, that's what they did to Christ. Except he hung naked on the cross. Understand? They had me lying stark naked on the bench with nothing but a shirt to cover my shame. I was bound to the bench with four cords so that it seemed to me as though my head and legs were severed. But they obtained nothing more. Praise and glory be the Lord. When they released me, two or three of them had to lift me from the bench and dress me. Yea, it would not have been possible to endure the pain without the help of the Lord. They told me to consider the matter and become a good son of the Roman Church, and that I should indicate all those whom I knew, or they would deal more severely with me. I replied that I had not erred, and would far rather die than forsake my faith. They then said that they would come again, but they can do no more than the Lord permits them. Eternal praise to the Lord who has made us fit for thus. May we be further fit to become children of his kingdom. Amen. My beloved wife, I commend you to the Lord and the word of his grace. And he writes a letter to Big Henry. I don't know who Big Henry is, but he sounds like a cool guy. Anyway, I'm going to move on to the last letter to Jerome, to his wife, written the night when he was sentenced and he was put to death on the 2nd of September, 1551. Grace and peace from God the Father, the unfathomable mercy of the Son of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the loving kindness and communion of the Holy Ghost be unto you for an everlasting consolation, joy, gladness, and strength in your bonds, tribulations, sufferings, and vexations in your labor, and for strength in your faith, love, and tribulation. To him be praise forever and ever. Amen. Now remember, this is the last letter that he writes to his wife. Listen closely. I wish unto you, my dearly beloved chosen wife in the Lord, the true, genuine, penitent faith which works by love, and a very firm, immovable, steadfast mind in my and your most holy faith. I further wish you the crucified Christ for a bridegroom, who has chosen you for a daughter, a bride, and queen. To this King of the Most High, to the everlasting Father, and jealous, loving God, I have now commended you, my beloved in the Lord, that he will now be your comforter and bridegroom, since he has called and taken me first, with which I am well content, seeing that it was the will of the Lord. Eternal praise and glory be to the Lord for his great power which he manifested in us. Therefore, my most beloved in the Lord, do not complain or grieve much, because he has taken me first. For he has done all for our best, that I should be an example unto you, and that you may follow me as valiantly as I, through the grace of the Lord, who has made us both worthy to suffer for his name, shall go before you. O my dear Lamb, I humbly entreat you not to listen to the papist and other sophists. but steadfastly to follow your bridegroom, your immovable bridegroom. Sophistry. Who uses that? Follow his footsteps and fear not their threats, nor let their tortures terrify you, for they can do no more than the Lord permits them. They cannot hurt a hair of your head without the will of the Father which is in heaven. Hence fear not, but continue firmly and steadfastly in the doctrine of Christ and in the right truth. You notice how he says that over and over again? Continue steadfastly in the doctrine of Christ. Mm-hmm. And in the right truth, for the Lord will not forsake you, but will preserve you as the apple of his eye, yea, as his daughter and child, since it is impossible for God's elect to be deceived. For his sheep hear his voice and follow him, but they hear not the voice of strangers. Hence no man shall pluck them out of his hand, for he is their shepherd and protector. Hence fight valiantly, my chosen lamb, for the glory of the Lord, even as he fought so valiantly for the salvation of our souls. Be therefore of good cheer, even though you have to lie yet a little longer in this den of lions. Your deliverance is nigh, it tarries not, but comes, and when he comes, that will come with power. He will receive you as his bride and queen, for it is his pleasure to have his chosen with him, since he delights in beholding them, and the day of the Lord is at hand. Therefore, my dear wife in the Lord, fight valiantly now, and fear not man, but rather say with Susanna that you would much rather fall into the hands of man than into the hand of God, for it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Go to meet the Lord with ardent love, as you have done hitherto by the grace of the Lord who works in you, and fight valiantly, for the crown of life is prepared for you, since to those that overcome all things are promised, and they shall inherit all things, for Christ says, blessed are ye when all men speak evil of you, for great is your reward in heaven. He also says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. The Lord also said that when they have brought us before the lords and princes and tortured and killed us, they shall yet think they have done him service thereby. Therefore, trust firmly in Christ alone, and the Lord will not forsake you, and the crown of life is prepared for you. Herewith I will commend you to the Lord and to the word of his grace, and take leave of you here in this world, for I do not expect to see your face any more. But I hope to see you under the altar of Christ before many days. Therefore, my beloved wife in the Lord, though the world counts us liars, and separates us bodily, yet the merciful Father will soon bring us together again under his altar, together with our brother, for I do not doubt it, but am firmly trusting in him, for I have commended us three into his hands to do his divine will with us, whereby his name may be both praised and thanked to the salvation of our souls and to the consolation and strengthening of all those that fear the Lord and serve and love his name. This he will also do, I doubt not, for he does not forsake his own who trust in him. Hence I go with a glad heart to offer up my sacrifice to the praise of the Lord. If I could yet have come to you, I would have done so. But Joachim would not have it. But Christ will soon bring us together again under his altar. This men will not be able to prevent. Herewith I bid you adieu till we meet under the altar. I commend you to the Lord. Big Henry salutes you much in the Lord. See, my dear wife in the Lord, the hour is now come that we must part, and thus I go before with great joy and gladness to my and your heavenly Father, and I most humbly entreat you not to grieve on this account, but to rejoice with me. However, I am sad in one respect, because I leave you among these wolves. But I have commended you in the fruit to the Lord, and know assuredly that he will preserve you unto the end, and herein I rest content. Be valiant in the Lord. Okay, now this last account here is the account of how she died. Liskin, our sister, who was in bonds for a long time, fulfilled the time of her sojourning, continuing most perfectly and steadfastly in the word of the Lord unto the end. The Lord be praised forever, and confessed her faith very frankly and unfeignedly in the court, before the authorities and the common people. In the first place, they questioned her concerning baptism, to which she replied, I know but one baptism, which Christ and his saints practiced and left us. What do you think of infant baptism? Asked the bailiff. Liskin answered, that it is nothing but infant baptism in a human institution. The lords then arose and put their heads together. In the meantime, Liscan clearly confessed and explained the ground of her faith to the people. Thereupon they passed sentence upon her. Liscan thus addressed herself to the judges. You are judges now, but the time will come when you shall wish that you had been shepherds. For there is a judge and lord over us all, who will judge you in due time. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The lords therefore said, take her out of the court. The people then ran together in great crowds to see her. Liscan boldly said to them, be it known to you that I do not suffer for theft, murder, or any other evil deed, but solely for the incorruptible word of God. Thereupon they came to Bargerk, when she said, O thou den of thieves, how many a soul is murdered in thee? As she was thus going along between the servants, though not led by them, the latter said to the people, arise, make room. Then Liscan said, they do not hinder me. They may look on me and take an example from me, all who love the word of the Lord. Speaking on, she went back into prison. The common people were greatly agitated, but friends rejoiced. Hence in the afternoon, some of our friends went to the prison to visit her, much other people also coming. The friends talked a little with her and said, it is well that you suffer only for well-doing and not for an evil deed. But she had to avoid them on account of other people that were in the prison. She spoke boldly and valiantly to the people and sang a beautiful hymn so that the people were greatly astonished. Two monks came to torment her yet, and the three were locked together in a room. Liscan utterly refused to listen to them. Once the door of the room was opened, much people standing before it, and Liscan came and stood in the door and said to the monks, go away until you are sent for I will not listen to you. If I had been content with your leaven, I should not have come to this. The three were again locked into the room, and the erring spirits made another attempt with their false and deadly poison. But God be praised, Liscan was undaunted and of good courage, and commenced singing a hymn in the presence of the monks. One of the friends present said, sister, fight valiantly. When they, the monks, heard this, they were very angry and said, there is another of her people who encourages her, whom it were better to burn than her. Thus they went away in a rage, for their voice was strange, and they were not heard there. Liscan was then shut up alone in the room which fronted the street, where she used to sit, and no one could get to her, save he that had the keys. When the monks came out into the street to go away, some friends who were there asked them, will she not be converted? The monks replied, no. For there was one of her people there whom she preferred to hear. Towards evening, the Lord granted that one of the friends came to the place where Liscan sat and conversed with her a long time, so that the people in the street began to hear it, and all looked up to the place where the friend was, so that some who were with him became uneasy and told him to go away. But he replied, I must first bid her adieu. He then said, arise, sister, show yourself and look out at the window. She immediately did so, and she looked out upon the people standing in the street. Some friends who were among the crowd also called out, saying, dear sister, fight valiantly, for the crown of life is set before you. She then said to the people, drunkards, whoremongers, adulterers, all these are tolerated. They indeed read and speak of the scriptures, but they that live and walk according to the will of God are troubled, oppressed, persecuted, and put to death. And forthwith she began to sing, behold, what poor sheep we are. Before the hymn was finished, the lords came with the servants into the prison. Some friends said, just finish it, Liscan. But before she could finish the hymn, they drew her away from the window, and evening approaching, she was seen no more. Saturday morning we rose early, some before daylight, others at daybreak, to see the marriage which we thought should come off. But the crafty murderers had anticipated us. We had slept too long, for they had perpetrated their murderous work between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. They took the lamb to the shelt, thrust her into a bag, and drowned her before the people arrived, so that but few witnessed it. There were some, however, who saw that she went boldly unto death, and valiantly said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Thus she was delivered up and departed to the praise of the Lord, so that through the grace of God it moved much people. When the people arrived and learned that she was dead already, it caused a great commotion among them, and as much sorrow as though she had been publicly executed. For they said, thieves and murders are brought publicly before all men. Thus their perfidy became the more widely known. Some plain people asked, "Why must this people die?" For many give a good testimony of them. Some friends who were there openly said to the people, "The reason is that they obey the commands of God more than that of the emperor or of men, because they have sincerely turned to the Lord their God from lies to the truth, from darkness to light, from unrighteousness to righteousness, from unbelief to the true faith, have thus amended their life, and after become true believers, been baptized according to the command of Christ and the practice of his apostles. They moreover showed to the people from the word of God that the papists are those of whom the apostle Paul prophesied, that it is the seducing spirits who teach the doctrines of devils, and also that the righteous had to suffer from the beginning, from the time of Abel until now, even as Christ also had to suffer and thus enter into the glory of his Father, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. For all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's how she ended her life. She stayed faithful to the end. I can't help but think her husband, God used her husband to continue to strengthen her and her to continue to strengthen her husband. But it ought to put a perspective on us in the challenges and the trials that we face. And think about what they did. Think about their love for the Lord. And ladies, I want you to think about something too, that, you know, our ladies are keepers at home. Our ladies are faithful in their mothering and everything else, but they're not wallflowers. You're not a wallflower. You're to endure hardness. Now, you are the weaker vessel, and that is understood. But as you can see here, this weaker vessel here, she fought valiantly for the Lord still. There are things that God will have your husband do, and you must stand behind him and stand with him. And you must trust the Lord, and you must be strengthened in your faith. And you have a responsibility to read your Bible, to study it, to pray, to grow in the Lord, to train your children, to raise them up, and not to give up when things get hard, but to stand fast in the faith. And to be the helpmeet that God wants you to be, through thick and through thin. These people understood that baptism of affliction I talked to you about this morning. That baptism that Christ said they would be baptized with. They lived it. You and I need to live it. Amen. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the testimony. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. Thank you for the examples of those that went before us. Thank you for Christ. Lord, please strengthen our marriages, strengthen our homes, strengthen us in the faith. Lord, help us to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.